I want you to look again tonight, and I want you to notice two very interesting verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Two verses that are very interesting because they both have a unique feature from the Apostle Paul and his inspired pen. The first one says this in verse 18. He says, "And we have sent with him," being Titus, "the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." The other verse you'll notice is down in verse 22. "And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I hope have in you." Now, what's interesting again about these two verses, as you've probably already noticed, is that in both cases, Paul is recommending, in fact, he's actually highly recommending two separate men without even giving their names. We noted this some time ago in a Bible study we did in Corinthians, and I want you to read again carefully what it says. Verse 18 again. "And we have sent with him," that goes back to verse 16, Titus. You'll notice the connection between Titus and him. "And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel," verse 22. "And we have sent with them our brother." In other words, in a very deliberate way and for an obviously spiritual purpose, the Holy Spirit of God excludes the specific names of two, think about this, of the most highly regarded and highly praised men in all of Scripture, and especially the New Testament. I mean, look, folks, how many people in the Bible are credited, specifically lauded, with the kind of language that Paul uses in this text? He says again, let's read all of it this time, verse 18 again. "And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." Verse 19, "And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind." Now, can you imagine having the Apostle Paul writing that about your next guest evangelist coming this Sunday as commended by the Apostle Paul, the brother, quote, "who is praised by all the churches for his ministry in the gospel and chosen by all the churches for his reputation of integrity." Now, you put that on the big church sign outside speaking tonight. The only problem is, you know what would happen, right? When people would read those words of praise and adulation, they would all have the same question. Who is he? Pastor, you put on the sign out there, this guy who has the praise of all the churches and recommended by Paul and has more integrity than anybody, this, that, and the other. But who is this amazing man that Paul keeps talking about? What is his name? Verse 22, you'll notice, describes a man who was, quote, "proven diligent, yea, much more diligent in the work of God." Well, that's great, Paul, but what's the man's name? Who is this guy? You see, someone finds out when who he is, and he goes to his college yearbook, and he pulls out the yearbook, and sure enough, it says right there in that little spot, "beloved and praised by all, chosen by everyone and all the churches, and much more diligent, most likely to get his name in the Bible," and so on. I mean, there's a space there, except that there's no picture. And the fact, including that there's no picture, it also shows that there's no name. It simply says, "the brother," John Doe, or "our brother," Mr. Anonymous. And by the way, the thing that makes the omission even more obvious is the fact that Paul is sending to the church at Corinth three men on this very important journey. One of those three men he doesn't hesitate to name at all. It's just clear as day right there in verse 16. You'll see the name Titus. And of course, he also, note this, he also mentions Titus by name in verse 23 and in verse 6 and three times in chapter 7, plus three other times in chapters 2, 12, and 13. Matter of fact, Titus has an entire book named after him, not to mention one of the Coyle kids. Amen? So it keeps going. So why is it then when Paul is referring to the other two-thirds of this group? Obviously, two of the finest Christians in all of the New Testament. Why does he choose to omit their names every single time? Well, obviously, folks, we don't know why, but we do know that he did. And we know that because he did, it reminds us of some very important truths and timely things in the Word of God. Three lessons tonight I want us to consider from this text. The first one, and maybe the most obvious one, is absolutely critical in the life of any child of God and every child of God sitting in this room tonight. And that is, as you might guess, number one, a lesson in humility. You see, we noted earlier that according to verse 18 and verse 22, there were two men highly regarded by Paul and highly regarded by others who were sent along with Titus. Titus, to help with this offering over at Corinth. Well, even though it is obvious that to those at the church, to those who were at Corinth, they knew who these men were, obviously, they certainly knew their names, it's also obvious that the Holy Spirit of God did not care for us, you and I, tonight, and all believers the past 2,000 years, to know their names. Now, that doesn't stop a lot of Bible commentators from telling us who these men are. I've read several commentaries, and I have to tell you that in the few commentaries, the several that I read on this text, no less than 11 names were given, suggested as the subject, the possible subject. They listed Luke, maybe. It was Barnabas, maybe. Timothy, Silas, Mark, Aristarchus, Apollos, Sopater, and these three, Secundus, Sosthenes, and Tychicus. All three of those are mentioned in Acts 20 and verse 4. So you see, all of these, and by the way, a couple more, are offered up as the possible or likely person that Paul was discussing. But again, the truth is, nobody really knows. And the further truth is, nobody needs to know. Because in fact, if we needed to know their names, then God would have told us their names. You say, well, Pastor, how is that an illustration of humility? Well, imagine for a moment being one of these two unnamed men. And some years later, you're visiting in one of the churches of Galatia or Achaia or one of the churches of Macedonia, and they are reading out loud this letter, as they always did, to the church at Corinth. And as you're listening to them reading this letter, which you would hear many times in your lifetime, you will hear the name Titus over and over and over again. Oh, let's go ahead and read the book of Titus, since we've read his name several times in this epistle. And yet when it comes to something about you, and you're in this group, and you're mentioned along with his name many, many times, it just says you as a brother, never once mentioning your name. Now, I have a question. Would that be a problem for you? You know, some people find it very important to read their name being recorded in a certain place, being written down, recorded at the big guest list, or the shiny sheet down there in Palm Beach, the exclusive locker at the golf club, or the head table at the Oscars. In fact, you know that many of the big stars in Hollywood, they actually negotiate contracts. They will fight to have their name listed either first or in a bigger font when they do the credits for a film. Because that's a big, big deal to them. People want their name on a building. They want their name in a park, on a street. I'm waiting for the county commissioners to name that little swamp, that little wetlands over there, Blaylock Bog or something like that, and the pond, Lake James. We got a Lake Louise up in Canada. Might as well have a Lake James. But it's human nature, and not the good part of human nature, beloved, that wants some specific ID placed upon who we are and what we have done. It goes all the way back to Cain and his own, who wanted to name cities after themselves. In this case, we are talking about the eternal and indestructible Word of God. And yet, you know what? These men got this close. They got this close to having their names more than once, recorded forever in the beloved scriptures right along with Titus. And of course, as you know, had it happened then for the next 2,000 years, there would have been sermons, Bible studies preached about them. There would have been a series on the Bible characters in the New Testament. Their names would have been included. And of course, thousands, maybe millions of moms and mothers would have named their little boys after these men if Paul would have just put the pen in the ink and written down their names. I mean, he wrote the brother. He wrote our brother. Surely that takes more ink than their actual names. Come on, Paul, just write down my name. But he didn't write them down. And to the degree that that might lead to regret or angst or envy, to the degree that it causes the human heart to maybe feel slighted or embittered as time goes by, To that same degree, it convicts all of us here, I think, to the awfulness and to the destructive nature of human pride. I'll put it to you this way: pride is always like Satan. Always. And humility is always like Christ. And every single day of our lives, we have to battle against pride to be more and more like Christ. It says in verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." How many men do you know who would be willing to do what that verse describes? I remind you that Christ was Lord of glory. He was, the Greek literally says, very, very rich. So that we who are very, very poor can become very, very rich. The Lord of glory made himself of no reputation, none. He became very, very poor. Yeah, I remember when I was in Bible college working on my master's degree, and you know, in that little cloistered world, which is, as I've often said, 50 acres surrounded by reality, you know, it was really a big deal then if you could ever, as a student or as a recent graduate, get on staff. I mean, if you got on staff at the college, then you received the single most prized and sought-after trophy in the entire organization. And Louise got this trophy. She got it, if you will. She was on staff during my entire master's while I was there. She had it. What was it, Pastor? Free tuition? Healthcare? Book discounts? Oh no, something far better. It was an engraved nameplate placed for all the world to see in your own reserved parking spot. That, I'm not joking, was the brass ring. Not just some stenciled letters that said reserved on the cement wheel stop. No, that's no good because that's not your name. You got to have your name out there so that they see who you are and who it is that's parking in that spot. It had to be your name. The next year when we left there to go to Tennessee, the maintenance man gave it to Louise because everybody wanted a reminder of how important they were. Where is it, Pastor? I have no idea. I think we used it to shimmy the door of the U-Haul when we left or something like that. But when I look back at that, and that's just one small example, but when I look back at that, you realize how petty and carnal and prideful all of that thinking really is. Just like we will all look back one day and realize how petty and destructive and carnal was our pride when someone did not mention our name or print our name or publicly acknowledge our service with our name for all the world to see and hear. There is a lesson in humility. Several years ago, I had a guest speaker come, and we were talking after church, and he said that I was making a big mistake because I didn't have my name painted on our bus, our van, our coach, and the sign outside. In fact, he said I should reference the doctor's degree because I should say Dr. James. Make it fancy, Dr. James Stewart Blaylock. He said, "Pastor, put it on everything, including your reserved parking spot. Get it out there for everybody to see," he said, "because it's very important." And you know, I was curious, so I asked him a simple question, and apparently it stumped him. And here was the question. I said, "Why?" And he looked at me, and you could tell the wheels were turning, and he was trying to come up with a spiritual answer. And I said, "I can tell you a reason why I shouldn't." He said, "What?" I said, "Paint." Because what should happen if an asteroid hits me and I'm gone and now they have to get a new pastor, now they have to repaint the church sign and the bus and the van and the coach and everything else with a new pastor's name? I love the church signs in Tennessee and Alabama, and you've seen them. Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, that's painted. All the service times are painted on. Even the word pastor is painted on. But where his name goes, those are removable letters, amen? "Because we was here before you came, we'll be here once we run you off." You say, "Well, Pastor, maybe later Paul mentions their names, because after all, it's not as if Titus and the unknown brother or brothers are mentioned in the same verse. It couldn't be that deliberate." Really? Turn ahead to chapter 12. Because after all, this is a letter, a single letter. Chapter 12, verse 18. Paul says, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of him? Man, he does it again, Paul. In this verse, you name Titus twice, and you still don't call my name. And again, folks, for some reason, and for some people, this would be a problem. You're always mentioning his name. Can you imagine if it was the Coil boys being discussed here, and it was always Titus, 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 and Ethan or Joel are like, what's he? Well, these are grown adults. I have a question. Would that be a problem for you tonight? You're in the same group doing the same ministry, and the other person's name is mentioned all the time. And every single time that person's name is mentioned, your name is being slighted. We need this lesson. We in this flesh, we need this reminder over and over again. You know, it didn't matter that Paul didn't list their names. It really didn't matter. Because when it comes to this and this, it's never about them. And tonight, beloved, it really doesn't matter either for us because it's not about us. A lesson of humility. The second lesson you'll notice in text, number two, is a lesson of ability. Go back and look again at the description of these men and see if you can tell what's missing in the description. Chapter 8, verse 18, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us. Go down to verse 22. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. In fact, then, even in his description of Titus in verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper. Concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. All right, so, Pastor, what's missing? Well, there's no mention here in any of these verses about their talents, their education, their personal accomplishments, or their titles. In fact, verse 23, the word there is simply fellow helper. Now, wait a minute. Fellow helper. What kind of title is that? Does anybody in this room think that somebody graduates from Bible college or seminary and they go to work at another church somewhere and they're willing to put on their door or to accept? What's your title? What are you? You're just fellow helper. You're the fellow helper of Beacon Baptist Church. What about fellow bishop? What about fellow leader, fellow apostle, fellow genius scholar? Fellow helper. What is that? One of these days, somebody's going to stop by the church and say, Pastor, or say, Andy or Jeffrey, I'm looking for the senior pastor. And I'm going to say, well, I'm the fellow helper. Can I help you? And you know, he'd say, you're the what? Oh, I'm the helper. Did you go to college? Yeah, I went to college. I went to Bible college. I majored in helping. I got my master's in fellow helping. I even got who's who among helpers and helping. Not to mention the National Helping Society. I'm a member of Phi Beta Helpy. Helpa? I don't know. You see, here's what's intriguing to me about not naming these men. By not giving their names, we cannot make any assumptions about their personality, their abilities. All we know is what God tells us. Was he undereducated, as the world would see it, like James, or was he supereducated, as a man like Paul? Was he quiet and reflective like John, or was he zealous and loud like Peter? Was he frail and weak of stature, or was he like me? We don't know. What we do know is that they were noted for characteristics that anybody can have. Read them here. Anybody in this room can have the characteristics that are listed of these unnamed brethren. Elsewhere in the New Testament, the word helper is sometimes translated worker or laborer. And you'll notice that neither Titus nor these two unnamed brothers are noted for any kind of financial, business success, or talent, or management skills. Even though what it is that they're helping the apostle with at the time or finances and offerings. Now, they may have been financial geniuses and wizards and professionals and very successful businessmen. We don't know. It must not be that important. What we do know is that they didn't need to be, because it was enough that they were what? Faithful and trustworthy before God and men. You know, there are plenty of financial geniuses who are in prison tonight, right? There are lots of talented, beautiful, famous people who are in rehab for the third, fourth, and fifth time and in emergency rooms. So that all of the ability in the world isn't worth much when it's surrendered, unless it's surrendered to God. Which brings us tonight to the third lesson in the text. Because it's not just humility, and it's not just a lesson in ability. It's also a lesson, number three, in eternity. Go back to chapter 8, or look at chapter 8, and notice verse 16. He says, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." Let me stop here for a moment. It says, quote, "His praise is in the gospel." In other words, without knowing their names and thus their accomplishments, their gifts, their talents, and all their looks or whatever, without knowing any material thing about this men, what we do know, we know the really important thing about them, and it's summarized in the word gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's not all. Look at verse 23. "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper. Concerning you or our brethren to be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and," here it is, "the glory of Christ." Paul says this: if anybody wants to know about these two men and asks about them, just tell them this. Tell them that these men are men of the gospel, and that these men are messengers of the glory of Christ. You see, folks, that's the reason they don't even need a title. That's the reason we don't need to know their names. The only title that matters is the eternal one that's given to them in the text, and it's the word brother. "Pastor, who is he? What's his name?" I don't know, but I know this: he's a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. "But Pastor, what did he ever do? Did he lead an army? Did he build a city? Did he own a bunch of properties?" I don't know, but I'm glad that's not all he did, or none of that would matter today. What he did do, and what does matter for tonight and for all of eternity, is he got saved. He was born into God's family. The only title repeated over and again is the word brother. And as a brother, he furthered the message that brought him into the family. Paul says in verse 22, "our brother." Here was a man, in fact, two men, who were above all else children of the living God. And if you think about it tonight, what other thing do you need? A sister in Christ, a brother in Christ? What other title could you possibly want or grasp for? You know, last night the Marlins won. 5 hours later, their star pitcher, 24 years old, a young man, beloved in Miami, a millionaire, a bright future, one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, just shortly, 3 a.m. this morning, died in a boating accident. And you know, I thought about that all morning, and as I was walking down, Brother Chris said to me, "You know, Pastor, I think I heard a friend of mine said he got saved sometime recently, accepted Christ as a Savior." And instantly, that to me, that's all that matters. Major league pitcher means nothing. His contract, nothing. His fame, his stardom, how beloved he might have been in Miami and across the country, means zero. The only thing that means is whether or not he was a brother. You see, there are a lot of names, prominent names, that are written throughout the Word of God. They're in there. King Ahab, for example. There's a title. King Herod. Caesar Augustus, chief priest Caiaphas. These are people's names in the Bible who built empires. They ruled kingdoms, they owned countries, and they controlled multitudes. They got plenty of ink, so to speak. But what does any of it matter tonight? What would have been better for Paul to write in the Bible? King Agrippa, there's his name, which he did write, or Brother Agrippa, which he didn't write? Or better yet, what if he had simply said, our brother, and not used his name at all? There is a lesson of eternity. And folks, it's a lesson that reminds us tonight that instead of worrying about getting your name written here or there or everywhere in between down here, just make sure or just be content that you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 9 again, look at it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Here it is. That ye through his poverty might be rich. In other words, folks, we are already rich. Already. You know, there's an oft-told story of a couple, the Morrisons, who were veteran missionaries finally returning to America after 40-plus years of long service and faithfulness. Malaria, they had everything in those days. They served in Africa. The ship they sailed in a New York harbor on was also unknown to them. It was also carrying President Teddy Roosevelt, who had been on a safari for weeks. They were coming to the harbor, and as they neared the docking, the aged missionaries could see a host of a welcoming party there. It had a band and streamers and well-wishers, and for a fleeting moment, Brother Morrison thought that all that hoopla was for he and his wife. And then it occurred to him. It wasn't his name on the banner. It was Teddy Roosevelt. And the music in the band, the mayor, the dignitaries that were all there, not one of them, knew who the Morrisons were. Not one of them called their name. And so they were just ushered away, out of the way, without a single person in New York welcoming them home for their service. Later that night, a little run-down flat that they were staying in, Mrs. Morrison could tell that her husband was discouraged. And she said, I know that this is all a big, big disappointment, and it just doesn't seem fair. But I think you should take this to the Lord. And he did. He left her. He went to the room. He got on his knees and he prayed and even complained a little, he said. When he came out, she couldn't believe the change in him. He was full of joy. There was a spirit there that she had known all of her life. What happened? She said. And her husband said, well, you know what? I prayed and I complained for a bit. And then the Lord settled it. I said, Lord, why didn't anyone celebrate or welcome us home? And he seemed to say, because you're not home yet. You know, folks, there are news reports down here every day. People with names like Kardashian and Putin and Clinton and Beyonce and Kaepernick and Farrakhan and Zuckerberg, they get their names called out. They get their names in headlines every day, many times a day. But just remember, there are also news reports in heaven. And these brothers, whatever their names are, these unnamed women in the Gospels who faithfully followed Christ and served him, their names are in headlines up there. And those are the ones that really matter. A lesson of humility, a lesson of ability, and a lesson of eternity. Father, bless now the invitation. Thank you for your word and for reminding us that these brothers, whatever their names, that were of note in the gospel and the glory of Christ, thank you for their faithfulness. Without the recognition in your word and throughout history, they were recognized in heaven, and someday we will meet them. But I pray, God, that it will encourage us to be humble and faithful. Encourage us, Father, to keep our eyes on eternity. Bless these who've asked for prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.